Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podnuts Daily. I am Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. This is the podcast where we talk to techs about tech stuff, how to fix stuff, how to find out what is broke, and the daily humdrum of owning your own computer repair business. I'm going to ask everybody, please do not forget, this is the time of year. Podnuts.com/Amazon will benefit Podnuts greatly, and you can get yourself some really good stuff at no extra cost with, in my honest experience, shipping that you can count on. In the past, I've ordered from places and I was not able to count on their shipping, and I had to pay for it. I had to keep saying I was sorry about 30 times, and it was painful. So from now on, I just go podnuts.com/Amazon, and voila, I don't have to worry anymore. Have a very good show planned this evening. I have as a guest a long time pod nuts in. He's been in the forums. I want to say it's been now over 3 years, and that is In Like Tim, or Tim Bauermeister from Real PC Repair. How is everything going, Tim?
It's going very well, Dor. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I'm serious. You were one of the very first names in the Podnut forums that I can remember seeing, and that is still there and still active.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's pretty good. I remember feeling so fortunate to have found the forums and the podcast before that. I'd been a pretty active in other tech forums for that, and I gotta say a lot of the knowledge that I gained as a hobbyist, you know, leading up to launching my own business, you know, I gained from other tech forums, but I pretty much gave them all up as soon as I found the Podnuts forums, just because you know, the very often in the forums, you would find that it seemed that you had two types of folks. You had folks that were highly technical, and the others that were just there asking very simple questions. And I remember it turned into a more of a almost a battle as to who would know the most. And I didn't really pick up on that until I found the Podnuts forums. It was a thing of, you know, you had all varying skill sets, but everybody was so generous and just very kind. And yeah, I'd never found that anywhere, as far as, you know, what we do. And so, I love the Podnuts forums, and I'm trying to get a little bit more active in there. That forum's been real good to me, and I hope that I've been good to other folks as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'll say my experience, a lot of forums, there's a lot of people who get rude and argumentative, insisting their way is the right way to fix stuff. Yeah. We're in the Podnuts forums, it seems like it's much more collaborative. There isn't as many people spitting venom, as I'll say, compared to a lot of other forums. There's a lot of just flat out guys who are nice, who want to help and who need help. Sure. Some forums, people are almost afraid to ask questions, I think, because of the response they'll get, but not around here.
No, absolutely. And real quickly, too, I mean, I don't have any evidence to support this, but I get the impression that people at least try and search for an answer first. You know, very often the other forums, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you'd see the same questions over and over and over again. And I really think the folks that are in the forums, at least that, you know, they're not afraid to ask for help, but only after, you know, at least giving it a shot, trying to find the answer on their own. So, you know, that kind of person, it's very easy to work with. At least they've done something up until that point. But no, I really love the forums. And like I said, I've been trying to get a little more active in there. And I got to give you, Dor, because you know. Wow, your participation's never waned. I mean, you've been hammered down this whole time. So I give it to you.
Well, I'll say I'm sometimes a little too active in the forums. I can't remember what the last count was. Oh, there you go. Total post 5,587. That there's a lot of posting.
You know what, too? I'll tell you the thing that really impressed me about you, too, is that, you know, anybody out there who's kind of playing join the forums, you stop in and right there at the beginning, it says introduce yourself. Stop in and introduce yourself and, you know, let us know who you are. And then go post your question. At least say hi. And, thing is, door, you know, I bet half your posts are probably in there just making people feel welcome. And, so I always thought that was pretty darn nice.
Yeah, it doesn't say what my most active topic area is, but it wouldn't shock me if it is that.
No, matter of fact, I just looked, and the most recent post is from Door to Door Geek. So, yep, there you are. There you are, welcome, making somebody feel welcome. So that's all I'm gonna say about the forums. They're great. If you're in there, get a little more active, and if you're not in there, you know, come on, you don't know what you're missing.
Absolutely. Real quick question. You basically indicated that you basically started a computer business after finding Podnuts. I think this whole thing that Podnuts is a great stepping stone for people to do that. Can I ask how long have you owned your own business?
I'm not quite sure. I think I went live 3.5 years ago, maybe. I tell you, time's really slipped by. But I had, like I said, but just kind of been working or just using computers as a hobbyist. I swore for years and years I would never ever build my own computer because I knew that it would start something that I wouldn't be able to stop. Mm. And so about 6 years ago, I ended up building my first computer, and I was hooked. And so I'd always kind of messed with him since I was a kid. Excuse me. I'd always kind of messed with him since I was a kid, but I kind of got back into it, and we had a Windows XP machine. I just became, you know, familiar with using a computer again. And of course, if you're using a computer, it's only a matter of time until your family starts asking you to help them out. And it's only a matter of time after that until you meet family that you forgot you had. And, but what had happened was I really got, like I said, I just kind of got hooked and everything just kind of happened all at the right time. I was laid off from the job I was doing, which I loved, but it was very physical. And, you know, I'm almost 40 and I could see where I could still do the work, but there was going to come a time that I couldn't. And so, I took that 6 months and just tried to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And in that time, I found that now that I had all this free time, I found that I was doing this kind of stuff. I was listening to podcasts. I was, tinkering at the bench with, computers and whatnot. And, you know, after 6 months of play, I found that, heck, I was pretty darn good at this stuff. And, my wife said, look, she said, if that's what you want to do, she said, just go do it. And it was in that time that I discovered Podnuts. And, I got to tell you that's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me as far as my computer repair business, because, it all happened at the right time. And Steve was running his business and everybody else was coming on talking about their business. So I had all that time to kind of get a feel for what it means to have your own computer repair business without actually having to commit. And when I did commit, I was ready, and I really felt like I'd hit the ground running. And, So it did take a while. It was slow. I built the business very slowly. I wasn't very aggressive in starting it and building it. But once it finally did take, it's been extremely gratifying and satisfying. And, I've just like, I don't know, some days are better than others, like anything. But I, you know, after 3 or 4 years of doing this, I still feel like I'm playing. Generally speaking, it doesn't feel like work.
Right. Yeah. I will say, to have the support of someone else when you start out is utterly important in this. But I find at least most of the people in this job, unlike a lot of people in a lot of jobs, it seems like most of the people in this genuinely like doing it, which is a huge benefit to, like, you know, because you don't want to have to learn stuff that you don't like. So when you first start out, if you like doing it, it just lends itself to it. And you figure one thing out that leads to 10 other things, and then you take your time and you figure out those 10 things, and you just keep moving forward, understanding more, getting better at your job.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't hurt that, you know, this thing called computer repair has become so diversified that whatever your deal is, you can find, even if it's niche, you can find a spot where you belong. You can find the thing that it is that you were built to do. And you know, there's a huge difference between, you know, a sysadmin at some huge business running, you know, a million machines and having to, you know, do all these types of things compared to somebody on eBay selling, custom Raspberry Pi devices. But, you know, they all kind of fall under the same very, very broad, category. You know, and I think starting out in this, whatever you find that your thing is, you know, you can probably find a home doing it. Well, I'm not going to say probably. I'm going to say you definitely could find a home doing it.
Yeah.
If you work hard enough and long enough at it, you will find the place that you belong.
Yeah, utterly cannot agree with that more. Don't feel like you have to be able to clean every virus off every computer. If you can get a good amount of viruses off, you can focus on fixing laptop screens, or you can focus on web design stuff. There is literally a billion niches that all need to be filled where, if you can offer good customer service in nearly any niche, you will be able to find customers. They might not live in your town, all of them, but you will find customers.
Absolutely. And actually, I think you just covered the two broad ends of the spectrum. I think it's rare. In my mind, it's rare to find a good hardware guy who's also doing web design. I know that I'm really good at the one, and the other I wish I was good at, but I just can't seem to wrap my arms around it. But that's the thing is, well, and that's the thing too, is that what I like so much about Podnuts and just learning how to network is that you will have people, I know that I have, you will have people ask you every manner of things. Do you do this? Do you do that? And I've always felt very confident in that. Every single time somebody's asked me something, I can say, yes, I do that. And if I can, I know someone who does. And I know someone who's good at it. And so that's one thing that's been so valuable to me, as a tech and the Podnuts community, is that you don't have to be able to do every single thing to serve your customers. You serve your customers by helping them get what they want. And when somebody says to me, you know, about web designers, I say, you know, that's not something I do, but I know someone who can. Or, you know, supporting large businesses or whatever, you name it. You know, I know that if I can't do it, I know someone who can. And
Yeah, dude, that is so utterly important to the brand newest of the newest techs out there. You can't know everything. You shouldn't know everything. But thanks to communities like Podnuts, and to be honest, like Tech Nibble and like a couple other ones out there, you can be a part of a greater area where I can stop if, you know, somebody asks me something and I can contact Tim. Tim, can you help me with this? Or I can contact Steve D or Liam or a million other people that I've met in Podnuts to help me satisfy a a customer's needs. Because even if you can't do it, if you can gear them into the right area, that customer will come back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have a problem they want solved. And if you can solve it by whatever means and they're satisfied, absolutely, that will bring them back to you.
Very cool.
Hey, hey, real quick, Tor, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you mentioned, of course, PodNuts and TechNibble. Well, I'm trying to think, what other resource? Did you have another resource in mind? As far as like networking or finding, other folks that would be good resources?
To be honest, the only other two places I know of, and I'll say it like this, PodNuts is the nicest group, period, bar none. Nothing else comes close. The other ones you can find, let's say people who can be a little harsh. To be honest, the two other places are Bleeping Computer, which not only has a lot of software, but they have forums there as well. Very active forums. Maybe a little bit too active, dare I say. And to be honest, I found a couple nice people. This is, might sound a little unbelievable, but hanging out in Leo Laporte, the tech guy, chat as he's doing that show.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It seems like a fair amount of energetic computer hobbyist are in that chat because they always want to kick him that answer.
Gotcha.
When he just throws stuff out there. Those, to be honest, are the only other two places where I've been able to actually come across helpful people where you can keep talking to them kind of thing.
Gotcha. Oh, very good. Thank you.
No problem. Can I ask, what kind of things did you want to bring to the show tonight?
Okay. So I made a list of some of the standout items. There are many, many things that I do routinely, that you all find yourselves doing routinely. And there's no need to get into those, but a lot of the typical things, the virus removals, the, reinstalls, whatnot. But I had a few, just stranger things that doesn't come up very often or is new to me. And so I thought I'd throw them out. This isn't a critical thing to solve, but it would have saved me a lot of time if I discovered this first. I had a call from somebody. This is a small business. It's an office with, I don't know how many machines there are, 20. But they use, don't ask me why. I'm guessing it's probably because it's something they started using a long time ago and they're still using it. But they use Yahoo Messenger to all communicate to each other.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things where, it's legacy. They've all used it so long and it at least does what they need it to do. It's maybe not necessarily what I'd recommend, but they actually have the Messenger client application installed. And I got a call from one of them that saying that they couldn't log into it, saying that they were locked out. All right. And gosh, it's awful because, this demonstrates that this is not a professional piece of software, but excuse me, they'd locked themselves out of their account. They couldn't log into it. And I did probably way too much research on this, but I finally discovered that what they'd done, and it's another one of those things where basically the customer always lies. And I wish, if they would just tell you the truth, you might laugh on the inside, but they would save you so much time. She tried to log into it too many times with either typing the username or the password wrong.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so Messenger has a policy, and this is so silly to me, but I think that's probably where Yahoo, it's like, here's the application, use it, and now they're hands off, and they don't want to fool with it. And so if you attempt 3 logins unsuccessfully, you get locked out. And the way to unlock it is to wait 24 hours, and it just unlocks itself. There's There's actually there's no procedure, no nothing you can do to reset the password or to, you know, verify you are who you are. You just have to sit and wait, and it takes care of itself. So I wish she had just waited a day to call me. It would have taken care of herself. She would have had to call me. But that does that now. If you open up Messenger in the web browser, so if you open up your web browser, you log into Yahoo Mail, you know, you can access Messenger within the web browser. I believe there's some lost functionality there, but you know, she at least was still getting her messages until 24 hours later when she could log in. So I thought that was kind of weird. I thought I'd throw it out. Maybe I'd save somebody some time in the future.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because it sounds like it's one of those things they don't want to be involved with, so they have it self heal after 24 hours, just so they don't get calls, they don't get emails or anything.
Yeah, exactly. They should just explain that big block letter somewhere. but that's definitely a hands off approach, and that's not very obviously. That's not a good piece of software to use in a professional environment. But anyway, yeah, that's the solution is just to sit and wait, and the problem goes away. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
And if it's a business where they say, well, she has to be on right now, well, then I guess you have to create a new account. There's nothing in between.
Yeah, she actually could use, in the web browser, you know, because her Yahoo, you create a Yahoo Mail account to use Messenger. And so since she couldn't load into the Messenger, she couldn't actually log into the Messenger account with the Messenger application, but opening a web browser and going to her mail, logging into her mail, she actually could receive her messages through that way. So,
gotcha.
Sometimes that's the best you can hope for, is that you offer somebody a workaround until things get resolved. That's probably been one of the more difficult things that I've had to accept as a tech, is that, you know, a lot of times I like fixing things. You know, I actually like watching the Rubik's Cube spin into place where all the sides match. You know, that to me, you know, that's what a solution looks like. That's what the end result should be. And sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes just solving one side is actually all the customer wants or needs and will be satisfied with. And so, you know, a lot of times I'll offer a workaround and I'll think to myself, oh gosh, you know, that was kind of I feel like I failed or I came up short. Well, they're happy because, you know, they just wanted this thing to work and they don't really care how. And, you know, a lot of times offering a workaround, you know, they're off the races. You know, I ask, are you satisfied? They're like, you know, it's like, shut up, I'm working, I'm happy now, so go away. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not always a loss or win. It's or black or white. You know, sometimes, you know, there are gray areas where people are very, very satisfied with that. So, sometimes, you know, a lot of times, well, and I've actually become very, very comfortable with offering a workaround and saying this is a workaround until blank. It's just saying that, you know, maybe we're not done here or we'll keep working on it, but you can do this until that happens. And people are thrilled, just to know that, you know, that you are trying to solve it and that you've at least given them something they can do for now and that you are going to continue working on it. I've actually found the only time people are unhappy is when you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, or you do something and it's clear that you don't care about them as people. I mean, if you just show up and do your best, you just about, you got like 95% of customer service taken care of. So.
Right. I just got to say, dude, that might have been the best analogy I've ever heard on a podcast. Me as a tech, I want to have that Rubik's Cube completely complete, but some customers only care about one side being complete.
Yeah.
Dude, that is so utterly accurate. There is no way I could have ever put it in better terms, because you're exactly right. I find 8 out of 10 of the things I do that aren't taking a virus off or fixing a hard drive, when it's actually a software issue, when it's a workaround, they don't care
sure.
if it's a workaround. They literally don't care. Where me as a tech, just like you, I'm like, I can get it to work right. I know I can get it to work
yeah.
right. But they don't care. They honestly do not care. And I've had to find myself and at my 9 to 5 to literally leave well enough alone and just walk away. And it took me years to really learn that. So I understand exactly where you come from.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, it seems like I've hit a pretty, I've hit a high spot here. Maybe this would be a good place to stop, Dor. Because it's all down. It can't get any better. I can almost promise it can't get any better from here. And actually, I think a really good example of that is when, especially if you think back when Vista first came out and 64-bit Windows started becoming very prevalent, that you know, Flash wouldn't run in, was it the 64-bit version of Internet Explorer? I'm trying to think which way that went. Yeah. And so I remember the first 3 or 4 calls I got on that, it all came in at once, and I'm like, what do you mean Flash? You can't install Flash, or you install Flash and it still says it's or that was the strangest thing. And the scariest place to be as a tech is Googling something and get no results. I mean, if you've ever done that, that is the most frightening place in the world. I love getting like a million results, and it's like, oh, good. Somebody else has already been there and solved this. So, it was like, I had to explain it, at least for now, you have to do this, but you can't do that. And, that ended up becoming an accepted solution, actually, as opposed to a workaround. But, for a long time, I would offer a workaround, and I would just feel like, I failed, or I'd come up short. Man, that's just kind of me thinking, in terms of black and white, whereas, as I said, people people love a workaround if it solves their problem. They don't care what the solution is, as long as it just does what they want it to do. So.
Yeah, I have had the experience of Googling stuff, and I'm literally finding nothing. And I try to rephrase it. I try to change words around. And I've literally had to turn to a customer before and say, apparently, no one in the known universe has ever experienced this before.
Right.
So we have an option here. I can reload Windows. You cannot use that software. Or we can contact the company. And it's like, they in turn just throw their hands up. And I'm like, well, then we have to find a solution that doesn't involve XYZ.
Yes.
Yeah. They are painful times, but if you've never experienced it, then I'll just say, wait, because it will happen sooner or later.
Absolutely. I didn't have this on the list, but you know what? That actually brings up probably probably one of the most frightening examples of that. That happened to me earlier this year, where a customer that they had security cameras, and they did the hard part. They installed 4 security cameras and the DVR, and they ran all the wiring and everything, and came to me, and I'd met them on an unrelated thing, but they said, do you know anything about security cameras? And I said, well, of course I do. Well, sure, why not? And, if I don't know anything about something, I don't say that I do, or I know, or I've done it. If you haven't done something, I would never ever say that I have, but I will toe that line. And I will attempt to exude confidence without actually lying and saying that I have done it, only because I've done enough. It seems like a lot of these things that I do are for the first time. And so, now I've always managed to figure it out. So I don't get too nervous or anything about trying something new, but at the same time, I'm very careful about not actually saying something that would be untrue or a lie. But they'd ask me about the security cameras, and basically what they were asking was, hey, we have this DVR, and they couldn't forward the ports so that they could view the cameras, from a computer at home, or gotcha. They couldn't set them up so that they had iPhone app where they wanted to actually view the cameras from, which is all pretty common. And actually, once you do a couple of these, they're not too difficult, and it's almost like magic when you do get it working for somebody, because it's pretty outstanding. But what I ran into was that their ISP was Verizon Wireless, and so they had a Jetpack, I believe is what it was. It was a
gotcha.
And it was a new one. It was 4G LTE Jetpack, and they'd only had it. I mean, this was pretty new. I think Verizon had just been rolling these things out, so they couldn't. But you know what? They could not. They weren't capable of forwarding the ports in any kind of situation from this DVR. But I found that once I had set it up and set all of it up properly, something just wasn't jiving. I couldn't figure out what the heck it was, because the external IP or the IP that was in the modem was different than what I got if I Googled.
Oh.
If you just Google IP, it'll return your IP address. And there's many, of course, there's many other ways to get your IP. But the external IP that I was getting that way was different than what was registered in the modem.
Hmm.
And, it didn't make sense to me, anyway. And so I don't know if it's still this way, or if it's changed anyway, but I know that with the 3G, it changed, with the 4G, where I think the external IP, let me see, it was, and see, this is what little bit I know of. Is how little I know about how the ISPs do all this, but they had changed it with 4G over the 3G so that the IP that you were getting actually registered in the modem was like an internal IP from a Verizon Wireless. And so basically, I hope I said that right, but what happened was they basically broke any kind of port forwarding that you could do for any kind of IP cameras or anything like that. And we eventually did get it resolved, but that happened to me where I Googled this was all brand new, and I got literally no hits. And I tell you, Dor, I searched that every which way but loose, and I could not, and that was the problem, so I didn't fully understand the question, and so that made Googling it that much harder. But I finally did discover it, and actually here's a workaround. We got rid of the brand new 4G Jetpack and used their old 3G, and everything worked perfectly. So
go figure.
Yeah. So, but I tell you, that's spooky matter of fact, in the forums, anybody ever has that problem, throw that in your question. See, I Googled this and got no results. Maybe it's a Friday place to be. So,
well, yeah. And I'll say, I have had, quite seriously, I have had an issue where I posted a question in the forums that I didn't get really any answers. And then when I went and Googled it, the top hit on my search result was my question in the Podnuts forum.
Yes. I hate that.
Oh, that was so painful. Well, here's the thing. It was double-edged.
Yeah,
I felt great that Podnuts forums was being indexed and searched, but I felt horrible that it was just my question.
Well, and and that's the thing is that whenever that has happened to me, it's only because I'm ahead of the curve. Right. If it's getting top results in the searches, maybe what you do is you go back into your thread and throw a couple more keywords in it, so whoever else is searching it in the future would find it, and you get an answer a little bit quicker that way.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I'm going to put a couple links in this show notes, because I did have a Verizon customer of mine and the router they had semi-recently in the Podnuts forums, right when that happened, somebody posted a bunch of links to a bunch of emulated routers to where you could, via your web browser, log into what was just like logging into that router. And when I went there and I saw this router doesn't even exist there, that's when I knew I was in trouble.
Oh my, okay, yeah.
That's when like the beads of sweat started to form on my forehead. But for other customers, when I can find their router in this list, and I got like five links, D-Link, Netgear, TrendNet, Linksys, a whole bunch of them. Yeah. When you can find it in there, man, it makes you so well prepared when you go out on the road. You know, you just have so much less to worry about when you go to a new customer's place.
The I know exactly the I know exactly what you're talking about. That where you could actually, it's almost simulated. It's not as if yes. you're actually logging into a router, but it's simulated. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, you prepare ahead of time, but on the very rare occasion where I've had to walk somebody through it over the phone, that is invaluable. And I try and do as much remotely as possible. Anything that keeps me out of the car is money in my pocket, you know. And so, if nothing else, just the amazing amount of time it saves. So, you know, very often the time that it would take me to drive to some place is the amount of time or less that it would take to actually solve it over the phone if you're dealing with a reasonable person. And so, you know, I really try and do as much stuff remotely as possible. And so that, yeah, that thing, if anybody ever needs to know how to, you know, all the buttons and tabs and what they all do and where it is, especially like what I know Wi-Fi security. I remember I worked with somebody and, you know, from my mind, the Netgear one was, I could kind of picture it in my mind, but not well enough that I could actually refer to it. But I was able to bring that up and I was very easily, I could say, oh yeah, you know, I would have told them, you know, to look for this and that wasn't in there. It would have been wrong. And so it really, reduce the amount of confusion. I was able to, I'll say, click this tab and then click that thing and then, you know, enter your password, do whatever. And very, very, that was I don't remember who brought that originally, but I thought that was one of the coolest, you know, I wish that's something I could use more often, but that is a very, very cool, very, very, very cool thing somebody brought to the forums.
Yeah. I don't know who it is. I'd be very happy to send them a $15 PayPal thing. Because the sanity I gained from that list really helped me out a lot.
Yeah, big thumbs up. I'll have to check to see who that was.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So do you have
You know what?
Some more stuff.
I got a couple other things. One of which I really wanted to mention because this is the other side of the coin door. You know when you Google something and you get a million hits and not a single one of them is somebody that's actually solved the problem. Mm-hmm. I've got a Vista machine. Let me see. I'm pretty sure I don't think it's Windows 7. It's a Vista machine, 64-bit, that Internet Explorer, no, it's the 32-bit version, i.e., it will not start. This is a really strange problem. I've never seen it before. Now, Googling this up, like I said, I get a gazillion hits, but no amount of Googling has actually found somebody that has really solved it. The 64-bit, if you go into the menu or the start menu and you find the 64-bit Internet Explorer, that starts and runs perfectly. The 32-bit in above or below, I don't recall it. You click it and nothing happens. Like even with start menu or the task manager open, usually if something if it's failing like that, you'll at least see the process start and then go away.
Right.
This, you click it and nothing happens in Task Manager, that you can see. Clicking the Internet Explorer, shortcut in the taskbar, same thing. You click it, nothing happens. And even going to the actual executable, and, you know, right click, run as administrator or just double clicking it, nothing happens. It's really bizarre. Everything else in this machine works fine. It's just the x86 version of Internet Explorer. Just nothing happens. So, it's And this machine kind of sat for 6 or 7 months. I'm thinking there's probably something really wrong with it at its heart, because this thing sat for 6 or 7 months, but I don't know why. So I'm thinking there was something not right with it, so it got set aside. But I can't find anything wrong with it as far as virus scans or running the system file checker.
Right. That's what I was going to say, too, because it doesn't make any sense. I would think it would have to be some kind of corruption.
Yeah. It's bizarre. So this thing, it's been like it's so long, I didn't really have like really recent restore points when it was working. Like I go back to system file checker, found nothing. And, you know, once again, I mean, I can't find anything wrong with this machine. And it seems to act okay, except for that one thing. So it was really bizarre. And I did find a lot of people pointing to a website that where you could, it had a number of good solutions for fixing Internet Explorer with registry entries and all that sort of thing. Mm. Going back, you know, version 8, 7, 6. This, and of course, this is IE9. But, and actually, those were geared more toward version 8 or earlier, although supposedly it would work with 9. But I didn't have any luck. So if anybody has any kind of input on that, I'm open to any suggestions, because otherwise, you know, we're either looking at a user that's going to have to just not use the 32-bit or, you know, reinstall at some point. So,
right. I want to say, I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. There was a way you could start run and start IE in quote unquote safe mode.
Yes, and you know what? And that was the other thing, is that I actually did do that. If you go into accessories, system tools, and Internet Explorer with no add-ons, I believe that's the quote unquote safe mode.
Well, it does say if you go start run I Explorer -ext off.
Okay.
Which will run it with all of the extensions off. I'll say I had luck, once. I had luck. Now this does say IE or 8, so I don't know if this is a 9 thing.
Yeah,
I'm trying, Tim.
No. That's like I said, I'm open to anything. Now that command line with the that extension off. At first blush, I'm going to assume that's the same as actually going in there and clicking that. However, I'm going to make a note of that because, it's Windows. Anything's possible. So, you know, you haven't tried everything until you tried everything. So,
yeah,
I'm definitely.
That's the thing with IE. It's so built into it. You really don't know how it really works because it does what it wants to do.
Right. Yeah. There was, so I didn't do that. The other thing I have not done yet, which I just ran out of time, because, you know, that's the other thing, is that fixing things, too often, they kind of turn into a quest for me. Mm-hmm. I have found that the amount of fun that I have doing things is indirectly proportional to how much I'm going to get paid doing it. The stuff that's routine tends to pay the bills, but, you know, routine is routine. So when I kind of get these little nuggets, you know, it does tend to turn into a quest. And so it's fun when you get it. It's so much fun when you finally get it nailed, but it almost never happens. So, I kind of ran out of time on the other thing, but I was going to say the one thing I did not try yet was actually trying to uninstall IE9 for IE8 and then seeing if that would work. And then, you know, if the 32-bit version worked then, maybe then update back to 9 or something. That was the only thing I did not do. So, but at the same time, I was a little worried because at least the 64-bit was running. I hated to do anything that would actually break it even more. So, but anyway, I threw out at the crowd because I got that thing that wouldn't work for me. Maybe somebody's got something for me. So if you do, let me know. Let me mention, I know this will probably come up at the end, but in the forum, I'm in like Tim in the forums. It's in _like_Tim. And feel free to PM me. That's a good way to get a hold of me if you got anything, good, bad, or ugly, to tell me.
Yeah, I will say I almost like getting PMs because I know they're direct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it isn't spam. Well, at least not anymore since I've destroyed like 4,000 accounts in the forum. Oh, and we've been good ever since.
Wow. I saw two little changes. Mm-hmm. Was it in registering? Was that it?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, I changed the registration process, and then I went in and did a purge of accounts where it literally got rid of, I think it was 3,000 plus accounts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I felt good doing it. I felt empowered. I heard like techno music going off in my head as they were getting deleted. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you almost needed the that toilet flush sound from the Glare Utilities as it was all going away. Yeah. You know, that's something I never got into. That's something that's mentioned a lot that through the years has been mentioned on the show. And I think that toilet flush sound, I had to try it just so I could hear it. And it was pretty satisfying. But I got to say, that I don't know if that's a tool that's as popular as it always was or if it's still been updated or what. But that was something that I never got into much.
Well, there was a time where it was gaining a lot of traction. Shortly right thereafter, they accidentally somehow posted a version that was infected itself.
Aww.
And it's never picked up again since then.
Aww.
I did like it. I will say that. I did like it because you could batch uninstall applications. And when you come across the computer, one of the first things I would like to do was, of course, back then was delete the temp files, delete, you know, all these temp directories and do batch uninstalls for everything I knew the user didn't use, like, or want.
Wow, I'd forgotten I could batch uninstall applications.
Oh, that was the reason I used it. I loved it for that.
I may have to look back into that.
And I will say the other application, I just got to say this, that does do a toilet flushing sound is Stephen Gould's Cleanup.
Okay.
Which I will say I still like and use, and I made it into a portable app for myself because it was one of the few applications that could clean all the temp stuff from multiple accounts at once.
Okay.
So that was why I used that one. But and of course, every now and then I was remoted into a customer's computer. I forgot to turn the sound off, and I would literally get a call like 5 minutes later and say, "Did I hear the sound of a toilet flushing coming from my computer?" And they were like, "What were you doing on my computer?" And I had to explain to them, no, it's just the software, I swear.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, that's funny because that probably the only call that I get routinely from customers complaining is they will call and they'll say, "I can't, why am I having sound?" And so every time I remote in, I will mute that speaker. And I think it might have actually been because of a tip. Somebody on one of these podcasts mentioned it at some point. It might have been you, Dora, but I always mute that thing because if that thing's making any kind of noise, even if they know that you're going to be working on it, it makes them nervous. It's like the screen can do anything. But as soon as it makes some, like some noise or something, that I don't know what it is, they flip out, and so I always mute it, and then I always, almost invariably, I forget to unmute their speakers, and so, that's a call that I always get. That's funny, they heard a toilet flushing.
Yeah, so I had to get better about that, because my name, you know, was Door-to-Door Geek, because I did intend on going to everybody's doors and cleaning stuff, but... Remote, you don't have to worry about cleanliness, directions, computers with roaches in them, or anything like that. So I really quickly figured out I want to be a remote tech, but I kept the name.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's, but you know, the, well, it, you know, you should, I shouldn't say it was too quick. I wouldn't be too quick to cast it off only because, you know, everybody that I work with remotely, you know, I don't care to do it until I've actually met them. So if I have a new customer, you know, I can walk them through the process. And I've done this, you know, especially with recently I had an existing customer that got a new computer, and I very quickly just walked through the process of installing the remote desktop software so I could get started. And that's fine. But if I have a new customer, just to kind of build that trust, Not that there has ever been any kind of a trust issue, because, you know, as I stated earlier, I built my business really slowly. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend it if you're looking to be, you know, ultra successful, ultra fast. I always kind of joke that it was the non-pod nuts way to do it, because I just kind of eased into it, and, you know, all my work was coming from references, and it took a long time until it really finally started rolling. I don't suggest doing it that way, but I guess that was just, it's just kind of my nature to ease into it, and so. But the thing is that after all these years, you know, everybody's calling me. This is the references of references of references.
Yeah.
I've never had that quote unquote crazy person. And actually, the craziest people that have ever called me, I'd have to say, are family, and you can't get away from them anyway. but everybody, they're really good folks. And so it's, you know, that initial visit isn't quite as important when it's from a reference. But at the same time, I still like to go. I like to shake their hand and meet them just so they feel comfortable with me, and plus it is kind of nice to get out every so often and actually, to meet folks. That's the one thing that's nice about working on site. The other thing is, I do like, especially the first time working with a machine, I do like getting my hands on it, mm-hmm. you know, physically, just, and very often, if it's, unless it's something very simple, you know, I say, look, you know, it's going to be silly for me to sit here. I'll take it back to shop, and I'll just do it then. And of course, and the added benefit is that I can actually get my hands on it physically. I can open the site up, blow the dust out, which is big. You know, after 3 or 4 years of, I know that after 6 months of my computer sitting on the floor running, it's amazing how much it caked up inside there. So, you know, I do like to put my hands on it, but after that, man, it's remote all the way, because so many of these things, it's like, there's just 15-minute, 20-minute fixes, and especially if you got a reasonable person and you need hands-on, you can kind of walk them through it a little bit once you get pretty good with working with people. I know that unless I really, really want to run out the door, you know, it's like, it's remote all the way.
Gotcha. Yeah, I definitely agree. Where you really have to first meet them before anything can really be concluded about their level, their computer level. You know, because a lot of times looking at a computer or the inside of a computer tells you a lot about what to expect from a computer. Yeah, because if they treat it bad, it's usually pretty obvious.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially not so much the desktops, I don't think, but laptops, because laptops just, they really go into the worst places of people's lives. And so, mm-hmm. you know, some you get in, and I mean, I don't know that I've ever got one in that I thought, wow, it still looks brand new, but you know, some you could tell that folks actually try, but then you get others in. I had this one, and I said, brother, I said, why? Actually, it was his neighbor. I said, "What, bro?" I said, "What have you been doing to this?" Because it looked like a, you know what a laptop looks like after a little kid has used it for like a day. I mean, it looked like, you know, like sneezing and all that. I don't want to get too graphic, but you know, the screen, it's smeared and this thing, I'm looking at, and it looked like a little kid had been using this for about a year, and it had like, just like wads of like hair all in the keyboard. I said, what are you doing to this? And he said, well, he said, he has a bulldog, a little bulldog. He says, well, I like to lay it out flat on the floor and the dog lays on it and stays warm.
Hmm.
I said, are you kidding me? He just laughs. He said, no. And so, I don't know. I guess there could be worse things that you're doing with your laptop, but I gotta say, that was probably the worst thing I had ever seen. That was, That's his dog warmer.
Yeah, I can't. I can't picture a computer lasting long. That's nuts.
So anyway, it's pretty bad.
Wow, only in America.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, hopefully only in America.
Let me see. The I don't know. You know the Oh yeah, actually a couple other things here. I wrote down that once again, working remotely, sometimes, I'm not quite as good at this. When somebody calls me with a problem, I kind of like to remote in, and then I can, because I'm a visual person. You know, if somebody is trying to explain something to me, speak it out, or if they're spelling something to me, it's like, forget it. I cannot, the words going in my ear, I've never been able to picture things in my mind's eye that way. I really just have to see things. And so a lot of times I do like to kind of remote in. They could like explain what, and I see it. So this doesn't happen very often. But the other day I did have a call from a user that she had no internet access. And I said, well, okay. And so I said, well, and she explained that she had from her business. There were several users that were installed as, it was some kind of a VPN client or something. I never really did figure out quite what it was. So I think she ended up not doing it, but she had installed it, and either it didn't install properly, or there was a conflict, or there was something, but it broke her internet. She could not access, the internet. And this is kind of the difference. If you have a reasonable user that they don't have to be good at computers or even very bright. They just have to be able to follow directions, which I have found it to be a major problem with people. You know, you give them very specific instructions, you know, click this, click that, and they're incapable of that because for whatever reason. I never understood that. I actually kind of like the people that don't know much and they know it, because they will click what you tell them to click, as long as you're really patient with them. And so she did great. You know, I just said, I had her just restart in safe mode, tap in F8, which of course didn't work the first time, but the second time it did. And then we go in safe mode networking, and she still had no network. I said, well, all right. And I said, well, let's do that again. So hit F8, and that, you know, brought up prepare your computer, and we go into that, and we just restored, just chose restore point to when that was installed. And that, you know, that fixed the problem. And within 15 minutes, we had it back, at least to before it was broken. And I've been kind of waiting for her to get back to me if she still needed to install that or whatever happened. But, yeah, I kind of reached a point where I thought, my gosh, you know, I think I might have to go on site and take a look at this. But I'm kind of glad that I plugged along and started asking some questions, and she had a few extra minutes that she could do that. And so, you know, just walking her through that. And whenever I have a call like that, I always kind of like, it's very, very helpful. A lot of these things I can kind of do from memory, but, something is involved in that. You know, I'll play the home game. I say that, you know, I'll actually get into a computer with the same OS on it and go through the process so that whatever I'm telling them to click, you know, I'm actually clicking it with them. That makes it a lot easier. Make sure that you're telling them giving the right information. That one went really well. And I'm glad it did, because they're an hour away. I didn't feel like driving all the way out there.
Yeah, I will say, I think the hardest thing for especially a newer computer tech to do is to develop patience with some customers. Because some customers, all they really want is for you to hear them and for you to just try to explain it differently. And a lot of them can get a lot of things done. But of course, we all do have the ones where we know as soon as we call them on the phone, doesn't matter what the problem is, we have to take a trip out.
Yeah. Yeah. The, and actually, you know, you kind of made me think of something about the new tech. You know, I think, first of all, just, I found that this got a lot easier, you know, because, well, actually, like, working on, I do this because I've always been good at fixing things. You know, every occupation that I've had, career leading up to this, I was fixing something. And so I do really well with things. I've not always been really, really great with people. And so now, fortunately, I've been forced to work with enough people, especially over the last 10 or 15 years, that I never thought I'd get to this point, but I've actually gotten to a point where, yeah, I'm really pretty good working with people and I've gotten to a point where I enjoy people, and I didn't think that ever happened, but But the bottom line is, you know, I'm good with things. And so, sometimes that is probably the toughest part of this is, well, I'll say it definitely is, you know, you can't reinstall, you can always reinstall an OS. People aren't quite that easy. I wish I could reinstall a couple people because they need it. But you know, dealing with the people's definitely can be the toughest part. But I'd say as a new tech that the thing that helped me the most was the day that I realized that, you know, I'm good at this. People are calling me because they want me to help them or take care of this, or they feel like I know more than they do. And sometimes you'll deal with people that they don't give you that impression. And so the day that you begin to feel confident in what you do, I found it very, very, very freeing, very liberating. That because then I could sit back and I could relax. You know, I was, it'd make me nervous or give me some anxiety. You know, all of a sudden, once I became relaxed, a lot of that became very easy. And the thing is that I'd say that the day that I really developed a lot of confidence, worked with people, it wasn't the day that I realized that I was really awesome at this and I was the best and I knew everything and whatever the problem was, I could solve it. It was just that, whatever the outcome was, you know, the world wasn't going to explode. And generally people are pretty agreeable and that if you can't solve the problem immediately, you know, as long as they know you're going to work on it, do your best, that I got to say that I can't think, you know, like I said, I haven't dealt with a lot of crazy people, but I've never had a problem with all the things that kind of gave me anxiety and made me worry. They never ever happened. You know, where, you know, I never did anything where I felt, ended up feeling foolish or looking foolish. You know, so you just do the best you can with folks. And you know, like I said, I, the day that you really feel confident in this, and so I guess that's the advice I suppose I'm trying to give is that, you know, just work toward feeling confident in what you do, and you do enough of any of this, it'll come to you. I'm sorry, I think maybe I kind of got a little long-winded or off the track there, Dor.
No, that's okay. There are points to everything you said, and I cannot agree with you more. You have to remain open when you're in this kind of field. Don't pre-plan. Don't think ahead that you know too much about anything. You know, you might think in the beginning, I'm horrible with people. I just want to deal with computers. I don't want to deal with people. But after doing it for a little bit, you might find you have the gift to explain things in such a way that these new users just understand, comprehend, and can follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very cool. Okay, I think we've gone... Wow, we actually went over an hour, Tim.
Well, that's good, because I think that's pretty much everything I had.
gotcha.
Well, I had a bunch of good stuff left. I wasn't going to dip into that.
We can save that for the post show.
Yeah. The post show.
There is no post show. But, okay, now mentioning post show. First off, I have to apologize to you, to Mitch, to Eric Ardini, to Eric Salte, to Steve D, to Liam, to Johnny, all those people. I didn't mention in the beginning, you do other podcasts.
Oh, no. I figured you were going to save that till the end.
Yeah, that's it. I planned it that way, Tim.
That's it. Well, look, I mean, because I know that everybody's still hanging on to every word, wanting to know where they can find me and what else I do. And where they could hear me talk about stupid stuff and not important things like computer repair.
Well, how can other people listen to you talk about all that?
Yeah, real quickly, I'll tell you what, like I said, if you need to get me, I'm in like Tim in the forums. If you want to see more of me, if you want the sane side of Tim, you can go to at Geeksters TV. It's Geeksters.tv. Yes, Geeksters.tv. There's a couple great podcasts there that I was a huge fan of long before you know, I actually was invited on. So Geeksters is one where once a week. Right now it's Tuesdays. I'm sorry.
It's 6 p.m.
It's Tuesdays. Yeah, it's Tuesdays. It's right now. It's we need to fix that. It says Wednesdays at 6. I think it's actually Tuesdays, more around 6:30. But Eric Ardini has been hosting the Geeksters for the last few episodes. He's a pro. Yeah, I love Eric. I think he's doing a great job there. And they started inviting me on, and so we talk a little bit about, you know, computer repair, what we're doing, and whatever actually topical kind of things are in the news. So that's a lot of fun. And then the crazy off the hook fun is Friday nights, right around 11 or so is the Unbootables. And so if you have a weak heart, or you're pregnant, or you're on, any kind of medication, you know, you should definitely stay off of that ride. But otherwise, you know, come and join. There's hangouts with those, chat rooms. And, of course, all of the shows there to download and listen to, and the Unbootables, anything goes, brother. So, you have absolutely no idea what you will run into on the Unbootables. So, I owe those two shows a lot. I thank them guys so much for having me on, because after having done enough of those, it brought me out of my shell far enough that I finally did one of these Podnuts dailies after, what's it been, 4 or 5 years?
Been a while, yes.
Yeah, so finally came out and did the first one. So I really do. I owe them folks a lot. I love them to death. Those shows are awesome. I listened to them long before I actually became a guest. And if any of y'all haven't heard any of them shows, you know, definitely check it out. It will not be a waste of your time. I guarantee it.
Very cool. And let me say, Podnuts Daily is always looking for guests. Always. If you want to be on, or if you want to help me find people to be on, please do not hesitate to email me at door@podnuts.com. That is DOOR@PODNUTZ.com. Now, right when we end, we got to tell people, Tim, if you can tell what Tim's avatar is in Like Tim in the Podnuts forums, if you can email me what that is, I will tell you, you will be in the running for something.
Yeah. That's an old avatar, and actually, I kind of forgot I was even using it, but the other day Dora asked me what that was. So I'll tell you what, if anybody out there who can accurately guess what that avatar is, I'll give you the avatar.
There you go. Very cool. Well, Tim, I definitely thank you for coming on. And honestly, I thank you for being on the Unbootables, and I thank you for being on Geeksters.tv.
Oh, man, listen to this guy. He does like 20 podcasts, and he's thanking me for just sitting around running my mouth. Dor, I thank you. I tell you what, man, the stuff that I learned from you over the years, anybody that's actually listened to this one for this long, don't listen to me speak for one more second. Download everything in Podnuts Daily, Podnuts that Dor's ever done. I mean, the guy has taught me so much. I could fill 3 shows about portable apps and what this guy taught me and what I figured out and what I could do with portable apps. It's like an honor to be on here. I appreciate you so much, Dor. I love you, Steve Cherubino. You're awesome. And anybody who's been around Podnuts for a while in the forums, I thank you so much for everything you've done for me. Anybody that's new, come on in. Let me have the opportunity to help you if you all need anything.
Very cool. Thank you, Tim. And I thanks everybody for coming out and listening. Have a good week.
We going to do a countdown to stop Audacity, or is it just go? All right, stop it now.